Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Addition to Center Stage. We're talking to the retirees of the city of Pritchard. We also had scheduled Mayor Ron Davis, but at 5:56 today, after two confirmations, Mayor Davis had his PR person, LaToya, call and say that he was not going to make it. He said due to advice from two of his council, it was not their advice to him to be a part of the show. So we accept that. We would like to say to the mayor, if he's listening, that he has my cell phone number. If he'd like to text me and let me know what number he wants to call in from, if he chooses to at some point during the show, feel free to do so so that I can find you on the board. Otherwise, I'm very disappointed because I had a long conversation with the mayor this week, talked for about an hour. I thought we'd established the fact that I would abide by whatever he was willing to do. So he said that he only wanted to do a statement. I was totally comfortable with that. I know that the retirees wanted more than that, but that's all initially he had agreed to. But for whatever reason, at, you know, four, I guess an hour and 4 minutes before the show, they decided that he should not. So that's basically what I wanted you all to know about what happened. But the city of Pritchard, Alabama, has recently gained national attention because back in September of 2009, they stopped paying monthly payments to their retirees. In order that the listeners better understand how Pritchard got to this point, I'm going to read from an article that I believe Ms. Dennis sent me that was online at wfws.org, which pretty much sums up what happened beautifully. And I also want to say to some of the retirees that I'm supposed to be calling out to, because of due to time, I was not able to call out to everyone, and I do apologize, and I will be trying to make those connections before the end of the hour, or if you would call into the show. I do apologize, but we were not able to make the connections. Some of the calls were not going through as quickly as we thought they were, and so our music ended before we were able to make connections with some of the retirees, and we do want them to know that we would like them to call in, and if we see them on the board, we will pick go to them very quickly because we know that it's a long-distance call for them. But otherwise, I will try to, at some point during the show, dial back out to them. But it appears that during the 1960s and the 1970s, Pritchard was the fastest-growing city in Alabama, reaching a population of 45,000. In the 1980s, key employers, an international paper mill and an Air Force base closed down, leaving the local economy in ruin. The city filed bankruptcy in 1999. A decade later, Pritchard is the picture of social misery, falling well below the national average in per capita income and well below the national average for families and individuals living below the official poverty line. Former city employees have filed a lawsuit to enforce the terms of their pension. The case is headed for mediation settlement, where retirees are being asked to accept a compromise of one-third of what they're actually owed. Many of the pensioners are likely to accept the deal. Certainly, the city has a superior bargaining position, with its opponents literally induced into settlement by hunger. The unpaid retirees in Pritchard have broad support within the community, with local residents running food drives, bake sales, and otherwise raising money to help the retirees survive. But with 14 deaths having already occurred as a direct result of being cut off from their retirement, it's clear that such an aid is grossly insufficient. Tonight we have 19 speakers totally. 17 are retirees or soon to be retirees. So we want to understand, how did we get to a point in which some of the retirees are having to get on food stamps, file bankruptcies, have utilities and water cut off, being harassed by bill collectors, getting assistance through Pritchard's Pension Relief Fund, street corner fundraisers I'm hearing about, bake sales, having restaurants have collection jars set up inside their restaurants in these retirees' names. We're hearing about bouncing checks because there's insufficient funds in these accounts. We're hearing about retirees losing their homes and their cars. So to those of us that are on the outside, we don't understand how we could have come to this point. So we're going to bring in at this point Mary Berg, and Mary Berg is going to help us better understand how this all happened. Mary Berg is 62. She was an assistant city clerk. She worked there, as she told me, 25 years, 7 months, and 10 days. And she's been retired for 18 years. So let me find Mary on the board, and we're going to have her tell us what happened. Give me 1 second. There's a lot of numbers on this board, y'all, and I apologize. We are struggling to find Mary on the board. Mary, here we go. We're going to open up her line. Good afternoon, Mary. How are you?
This is me.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Tell us, what happened to the pension fund? How did we get to this point?
Well, I'm going to give you a breakdown of how the pension fund originally got set up and walk you through some things that have happened over the years. The original pension plan was set up for the employees of the City of Pritchard starting in 1956.
In 19 when?
56.
Okay.
The mayor and city council petitioned the Alabama legislature to start the pension plan. At that time, the pension was controlled by the city council acting on behalf of the city when they were presented with requests for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
In the late 1960s and early 1970s, the employees requested that this be restructured, and the city council agreed. The current structure of the pension board was set up then with the city having 4 city council members representing the city and the employees having elections among their peers to have 3 members. You will see from this that the city has always controlled the pension plan, not the employees.
Okay.
The amendments that were presented to the Alabama legislature through the years, and I understand that the mayor has said there's at least 15, the ones that I know about personally had to always originate with the employees voting on the changes. Then they had to petition the mayor and city council before anything could even get to Montgomery to be passed. In fact, the legislative member that represented Pritchard always told the pension board that everyone had to be on board with this, or there would not be any changes, including the mayor and city council. In the early 1900s, the city had a new mayor take office with, 1990s, had a new mayor take office with a goal to replace the current employees with others.
Mm-hmm.
At the time he took office, most anyone that could retire did. That was the major start of the underfunding of the plan, with almost as many retirees as employees contributing to the plan. This particular mayor was later brought up on charges of willful neglect of duty, part of that being from underfunding of the pension fund by the district attorney's office here in Mobile County, and later removed from office. The law that sets up the form of government the city of Pritchard operates under states, all laws and parts of laws relating to pensions are retirements and relief funds for policemen, firemen, and other employees of the city contained in the general or local laws of the state, as the same may apply and be in effect with respect to any such city at the time when such city shall become governed by the provisions of this chapter, shall continue in full force and effect and without interruption.
Uh-huh.
This is Section 1143C-82 of the Code of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Since the city filed for the original bankruptcy in 1999, the current mayor and city council members have all been members of the pension board. In the bankruptcy order itself, the city was told to do a list of different things, such as forming a blue ribbon panel of individuals to try and find solutions to the underfunding of the pension plan. To my knowledge, this was not done, and they did not even try to fix the problem. Instead of doing something about the situation, they just let the money run out and stopped paying us our benefits. I believe that the present administration, headed by Mayor Ron Davis, intended to try and get rid of the retirees when they filed for bankruptcy on October 27, 2009. In their plan that was presented to the bankruptcy court, they were only willing to give each retiree up to $200 per month for a period of 10 years and then nothing.
Mm-hmm.
This was certainly nowhere close to complying with the Alabama Act that the pension plan operates under. Mayor Davis has provided us with letters that he has written to elected officials, but that basically is all we have been shown. Part of the code that set up the pension plan allows it to accept donations.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of the $16,500,000 of unfunded liability could have at least been removed if the mayor and the other city officials had pursued getting outside benefactors to make donations to the fund.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the retirees that I know would have been willing to work on this with the mayor, city council, and current pension board. But since this was not done, our only recourse was to file a lawsuit. Since the second attempt to bankruptcy was thrown out by the bankruptcy judge, the mayor, two city council members, one employee representative on the pension board, two retirees, and another four current city employees started trying to work on an agreement to iron out us getting something. We tried to do this before Christmas, which it did not happen. This was not done, and now the retirees have been without benefits for 18 months on March 1st. Mediation took place in February with a court date of March 18th being the only thing on the table at this time. We, the retirees, have been beaten down mentally and physically during the past 18 months, and we will never be made whole again by the city of Pritchard.
Wow.
I have addressed the mayor and city council at many of the city council meetings during this time, and they seem to have no compassion for our plight.
Wow.
Mayor Davis does not think that he has done anything wrong, but I disagree. He knew about this problem, and basically, besides writing a few letters, what has he done except to ignore us? We have had 14 retirees die since check stopped. There are now a total of 144 retirees with many in failing health. We need help from anyone that is willing to help us.
Wow. Well, thank
you. I have met with the Mobile County DA, the past Mobile County DA, and also the past Attorney General of the state of Alabama.
Okay.
I requested the Attorney General to request the State Examiner's Office to come to the city of Pritchard to do two types of audits, one a legal compliance and the other financial. I was told this would be done, but to date it has not happened. We were in an election year, and I think that was the problem. So now we have a new DA, Attorney General and Governor in the state, and I plan to meet with them and request their help in having this done. I would also request of Governor Bentley to help us find a new revenue source for Pritchard in order to try and help fix the pension fund. I'm almost to the end. When we started our fight with Pritchard before our check stopped, it was always our intent to work toward fixing the existing pension fund, not only for us, the retirees, but also for their current employees, whether they are vested or not. The current employees should be in this fight with us to save this plan. Please remember, we are not like other pension funds that are having problems throughout the nation, because they have funding problems with not only the pension side, but the health insurance for their retirees. We have no health insurance once we retire from the city. Remember, everyone in the country is now watching Pritchard because we are a test case.
Yes, they are.
What happens to us can be what happens to the rest of this country.
Okay.
Many states and municipalities are watching to see if they can also get rid of their pension plans or treat their retirees like the city of Pritchard has done us.
Thank you,
Mayor. I just request that anyone that could help us, please do so.
Thank you, Mary. That was Mary Burke, you all. She put it together very well to explain to you that what happens in Pritchard will probably set the precedent across the country. Next, we're going to go to Mr. Jerry Mosley, who is currently actually traveling, but he's going to take a second and tell us. And then we're going to go to Wanda Spratlin. Mr. Mosley, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm very good. I understand, yep. Mr. Mosley, that you're 58 years old, that you were with the fire department for 25 years, and currently you suffer from emphysema because of working in the fire department with inadequate equipment for so many years.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's the way it was in Pritchard.
Tell us what you think of the current situation. What can be done to fix this, or how did we get here?
Well, it's hard to say how we got here other than the city has just ignored court orders They were ordered to pay back to the pension fund. The money had been basically stolen out of it, as well as continue to fund it. And they have selected not to do it that way. They'd rather hire people as part-time workers that don't pay into the system, just like if you ever had the Social Security system and everybody was able to opt out. You know, it's basically going to go broke, and that's what's happening in our case. And Mary stated everything about as well as it could be stated. And, I see about the only thing we could do is if the city of Pritchard was to secede from the United States, become its own entity, we could probably qualify for federal funds, you know, because all over the United States, or not the United States, but all over the world, you know, they all qualify for billions of dollars. And, of course, it's money that we put into the system that we dole away to countries that don't put into the system. And, of course, we're at the point where we need it worse than anybody, and they turn their backs on us. So it's a pretty good slap in the face to know that, you know, something that we've all contributed to all over these years that we've all worked has disappeared, and doesn't look like they're going to step up to the plate and help us either, you know. So they've pretty much just put us out to the wolves, I guess you'd say.
I understand, Mr. Mosley, that if it were not for odd jobs, you basically would have no income, and that your wife's income is pretty much the only full-time income you all have in the household.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah, my wife needs to be able to retire herself, but she's unable to. She has the years and the time, but we just don't have the money for her to be able to bail out and retire herself. She's got health issues herself.
And did you tell me that the things have become so bad that really in order to make the house note this last couple of months that you've had to go to a line of credit in order to make the house, just to make the house note?
Yeah, last month I had to do that. Sure did. I had to go to my line of credit and go into my savings to pay the line of credit back. So, we're kind of in a desperate situation. We have enough to hang on for a few more months. And I don't know where we're going to go. I mean, I work as often as I can and do as much work as I can on the side. But, of course, everybody's economy, everybody's hurting right now. So, you know, everybody wants a real deal. If you do work for them, they expect you to work cheap because they know your situation.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Mosley, thank you so much. We appreciate you taking out the time. I know you're traveling right now, but I thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Thanks for your help, because we sure need it.
You're welcome, sir. Good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
That was Mr. Jerry Mosley. And next we're going to have Ms. Wanda Spraglin. Ms. Spraglin, are you there, Ms. Spraglin? Hello? Wanda Spraglin. Hello? Ms. Spraglin. Wanda Spraglin. Her phone line chose to be open, but she's not obviously hearing us. Ms. Spraglin. Wanda Spraglin. Okay, I'm not sure if there's a problem with the phone lines. We're going to give her 1 second. Ms. Spraglin. Okay, obviously Ms. Spraglin is not available, or she does not hear us. Wanda,
hear you.
Okay, can you hear me, Ms. Spraglin?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your story. I understand that you're 80 years old and that you were for 25 years a sworn-in police officer and crossing guard, and that you retired in 1987.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, tell us your situation. I understand that you have a lot of medical issues that you're dealing with.
Yes, I do. But before I get into that, I would like to let the world know what kind of mayor we have, if it's all right. I'm not surprised at all that he did not call in. And I don't think there is a retiree that is surprised, because he has ignored us in every way. But I'd just like to go over about three questions that I asked him. About 3 weeks ago at a council meeting, and he ignored every question I asked him. He was sitting about 4 feet from me, and he just turned his head, never would answer one.
What did you ask him?
Okay, one of them was, I asked him, Just a few years ago, he took a $24,500 raise, and that's when the city was going down. And I asked him, I said, why did you take that raise? And knowing that our city did not have any money to spare, we didn't even have the money to pay the pensions of the retirees at that time. Well, he ignored my question. Mm-hmm. Another one I asked him, they kept telling us, a lot of the employees have been going down every Thursday night for the last 18 months. And they kept telling us, we can't tell you what we're going to do because we've got, can't pass the budget. So I asked him, I said, Mayor, we understand if you want to cut our retirement to one-third. I said, I think I've got a real good plan. If you want to cut our retirement to one-third, let's make your salaries one-third. And, Mayor, I think within 1 week you will find a way to pass that budget. And he still did not give me any, never responded in the least. But he's a coward. Half the time, he doesn't even show up. And you asked me yesterday if I was a Christian. Yes, I am. But it has been very hard. We had to do a lot of praying in order to keep our cool, I'll tell you that. Now I get to your question. Yes, I went to work in 1960. And I worked 25 years. I worked on, for the last 12 years, I was on Highway 45, which goes in from Mobile to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it was a four-lane highway with no turn lanes. And I had about 60 to 80 children crossing all the time. And there was no way I could stand on the side. I had to stand in the middle of the street.
Yes.
And I had to, of course, with that job, you are turning your head constantly from one way to the other, trying to direct the traffic and the children, too, all at one time. And I am still paying for that. I'm still in traction from that.
You told me that you had two strokes.
Yes, I had two major strokes. I had a brainstem stroke, the first one. And they gave me about 10% chance of even living. And they didn't think I would ever be able to get out of bed, but I wasn't ready to throw the towel in. And then 1 year later, I had another stroke that was almost as bad. And I am in a wheelchair most of the time.
You told me one of the strokes, something you described as a brain stem?
A brain stem. That's that's one of the worst strokes you can have. There's more deaths from the brainstem than any of the.
Ms. Franklin, I understood from you that you go to the doctor quite often and your medicine is quite high. Is that true?
Yes, I'm on 12 different medicines. And I do have insurance, but my premium is sky high. And, of course, I have co-payments with all of that. And I have to have, I don't have a chance, I mean, a choice of not keeping my insurance because I never know, you know, what tomorrow's going to bring with already two strokes.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Bradlin, I appreciate you so much. I know you said you couldn't be on the phone with us long this evening, but we thank you so much for your participation in our show this evening, and we're going to be praying for you and the rest of the retirees with the City of Pritchard. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Spirit. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
In our lives. We're going to try to reconnect with Gene Everett. Good afternoon, Mr. Everett. How are you? Gene Everett. Good afternoon. Gene Everett. Good afternoon.
Carrie.
Hello.
Hey, Carrie.
How are you? Can you turn your computer down? We're getting some feedback.
Hold on.
For some reason, we were completely disconnected there for a second, and I had to call back into the show. I apologize. That has never happened, but we've never had the phone lines this jammed, and that may be part of our problem.
We've had a phone jam or something. Over.
Okay. Yes, sir. So, Mr. Everett, tell us about you. You are retired now 15 years. You're 69 years old. You retired as a district fire.
That's correct.
We're still getting some feedback from your computer. Is your computer and your phone in your same room?
No,
because
otherwise
you cannot listen to the computer and talk to us at the same time, and it'll give you a feedback. Okay. For some reason, we're getting a terrible echo. Let's close your line, and we'll open you back up. Hold on 1 second. Gene Everett, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Can you hear the echo? Because we can.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's step out of time.
Will you do us a favor? And I think you, for some reason, our phone lines are showing that you have two phones connected to us at the same time. Is there any way that you can hang up one of those lines?
Hold on. Everything shows off.
Okay, we're going to try to fix your problem, and we'll come back to you in just a second.
Thank you.
We're going to try to connect with Mr. Arnold. Captain Arnold, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you, Mr. Arnold?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. We understand that you are a 66-year-old, retired from the Pritchard Fire Department.
That's right.
Okay. Tell us, we understand that right now, due to losing your income from your pension, that you had to go back to work in security at the mall.
That's right. As a matter of fact, not only myself, I don't know if you know it or not, but my wife worked for the Pritchard Police Department for 40 years. She also retired from the city of Pritchard. There's no income in our house at all because of this pension thing. Because we both spent over 75 years with the service of the city of Pritchard, and neither one of us have any money.
Wow. So
somebody had to go to work.
So somebody had to. We understand that you were the first black firefighter in the city of Pritchard.
Yes, ma'am.
And is it true that after your wife worked 40 years for the city of Pritchard, that she only collected two retirement checks before this whole thing happened?
Exactly. My wife was a loyal employee of the city of Pritchard in the police department. She worked there 40 years in pretty much every department they had. And she retired. She got two checks and nothing else since.
So we understand that you work at the mall and that the employees of the mall found out about your story and that they, instead of exchanging Christmas gifts with each other, they decided to take up with the money that they would have spent for Christmas gifts for each other and decided to donate it to you and your wife because they understood what you were going through.
Exactly. Well, me, brother, I work in security here at the mall. Matter of fact, I'm at work now. the security force here at the mall, along with the mall manager, they found out about our problem. They forego the party and the gifts. They took up collection from my wife and I and gave it up for Christmas. And that's about the best thing that ever happened since this thing happened.
Well, tell us, Mr. Arnold, what do you think of this situation? Give us some insight as to what you know.
Man, what I know is the city of Pritchard does not care anything about their employees. They didn't care anything about us retirees. They're trying their best not to pay us out of retirement. And we worked for the city of Pritchard all these years. We didn't ask to join the pension. We were automatically part of this pension plan. And we worked all these years for the city of Pritchard, and they refused to even look at us, even talk to us, and give us our retirement money. All we asked for what we worked for to pay for into that pension. And the mayor is not doing anything to try to help us. I mean, his attorney, all that thing they're doing is trying to keep us from getting our retirement.
Wow. So I understand that the pension was not something that you all could choose or choose not to be a part of. It was automatically mandatory that everyone be a part of this pension program.
That's exactly right, man. When you went to work for the city of Pritchard, you automatically was a part of that pension plan. You had no choice.
And, tell me, Mr. Arnold, the mediation, and I know you all can't talk about it, but I'll tell you what I know, and y'all can just kind of nod with me. I understand that they're offering you all something like somewhere between 32 and 34%, hypothetically, we'll say, since you're not allowed to say it. Is that fair?
No, man, it's not fair. I'll say it. No, it's not fair. That's what they offer. We can't offer that. You know,
okay.
A third of your paycheck. You know what, ma'am, I like what the mayor and his counsel and his the lawyers got to live on a third of that income. You can't live on a third.
Go ahead,
this is my wife and I both. Okay.
Is there anything else you want to tell us before we let you go? We know you're at work this evening.
Well, all I'd like to say is we would need some help here. We have no help from the state, from the legislature, from anybody to try to help us with this flight to get our money from the city of Pritchard. And what has happened with the city of Pritchard is something that the city knew about years ago. And they refused to fix it because they didn't care anything about the pension fund. They wanted to see us go away. But we're not going anywhere. All we want is our pension.
Wow. Well, Mr. Arnold, thank you so much. We know you're working. We appreciate your time with us this evening. And you're in our thoughts and prayers.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That
bye-bye.
Was Alfred Arnold, a retired captain from the Pritchard Fire Department. He's at work this evening, but he took the time to come and spend a few minutes with us and tell us what he felt about what's going on in the city of Pritchard. We're right now going to go to Captain James Parrish. Captain James Parrish, are you with us?
I am.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I understand you're 58. You're now a pastor. You were a captain with the police department for 25 years. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Captain Parrish or Pastor Parrish, tell us what you think about what's going on with the pension fund in Pritchard.
Well, what is so shocking to me is the amount of cooperation or the amount of help that we have not gotten from our state delegation or from our county government. It just appears that everyone has just left Pritchard alone. We did not matter. Alfred didn't say, but Jackie, his wife, was also the first woman, the first black woman, but the first woman police officer in the city of Pritchard. So that is history.
That is history.
But what was so shocking? I guess we're getting that feedback.
Getting that feedback. Okay, that's better. Go ahead.
But what's so shocking to me is that it just appears that no one cares. I'm one of the young pensioners. I did 25 years, but I'm one of the young pensioners. And it always was my dream, you know, to have the American dream, two Corcorals and a picket fence around your house, this sort of thing. And I was able to accumulate some of that. But with what happened with the pension, if it had not been for God-loving people at my church and even in the religious community, then really those things that I've worked for, I stood a great chance of losing them. And
right.
Even now I'm in the process of getting some more employment because I cannot put a burden on the people that I serve. But all of that could have been prevented if the mayor had the intentions of trying to work this situation out, then we could have met before he came up with this stupid idea of giving us $200 a year for 10 years and then get rid of the pension. If his intentions was to help make a situation better, we could have worked it out. What they asked of the mediation was that we receive 33% of our salaries, and for a year and a half, the monies that they owe us, that we would get 20% of that. That's what they asked in the pension. And most of the pension, the mediation, most of the pensioners did not want that. But they are hurting so bad until they were more or less made to accept it because they are hurting. They are hurting just that bad. One of the things that bothers me, this is far-reaching. This is bigger than pension.
Yes,
and one of the things that is bothering me, that if we as people just sit back and do nothing about this, then it can happen. It's happening in Pritchard now.
Yes,
but it has a far-reaching effect, a very far-reaching effect. If we allow Pritchard to set precedent, who knows where this thing is going to end.
I agree. Captain, if I have correct notes, you were only able to collect your pension for 7 years, correct?
That's correct.
And when we talked briefly in the pre-interview, you told me I'm a pastor, but I'm angry.
I am angry. I'm angry at a mayor that is so selfish, only concerned about what he can get, not even attempting. You know, it was so bad. The mayor laughed when they offered us $200, mm-hmm. and was said they should be happy to get that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I dedicated 25 years of my life working for the city, and that is the type of thank you that I get from someone that I'm supposed to be counting on.
Right.
I'm getting feedback. I'm sorry. I thought you was talking. I'm sorry.
No, Captain Paris, let me ask you another thing, and we'll let you go. You told me that you didn't even bother to write your politicians because they have turned a deaf ear
This has been going on for a year and 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that we voted on, for the lookout for us. They are so busy doing magnificent things until they have forgotten about the little things. These people, matter of fact, two of our representatives, is in the Pritchard area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they have not called. They have not. If someone could have said, I am working, I am doing what I can within the limitations of where I serve,
mm-hmm.
To help alleviate the problem in Pritchard. But they've been deaf. They've been silent. They turned a deaf ear to us. And matter of fact, I got word that one of them say, tell Paris to be careful what he say. For what? I've lost everything that I almost lost everything that I have. Why should I be careful? And you asked me to pray, and you said that you wanted me to say a prayer.
Yes, sir.
At the
end
of
the day. And what was your initial response when I said that?
I hope I didn't curse, but I probably said no, because I'm too angry about the situation to do that.
Yes, sir.
And I asked you to pray for me because I have not arrived yet.
And I have, and I will continue to do
And you do that, and you do. Please do that.
I will do that.
Because this is a sad situation. It's a bad
Captain,
situation.
But, Captain Pritchard, I so agree with you, and I thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this evening. And for some reason, I believe the help is on the way.
Certainly. The Lord has not given up on us. Matter of fact, what the Lord is doing is giving these folks a chance to repent, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
He's giving them a chance to repent. He's not, and that's the way that he works. But the final chapter have not been written.
No,
the fat lady ain't came to the stage.
No, we
and that we are going to get through this. And when we do, it's going to be beneficial to the city of Pritchard,
yes,
and also to the pensioners.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Captain Parrish, for being with us this evening.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for considering us. And we hope that some people out there that have the ability to help would help.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Captain Pritchard, y'all. I think he gave us a mouthful with what he said, and we thank him so much for being a part of the program. We'd like to say, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHD's 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for today's topic. We're having an exclusive interview with the City of Pritchard retirees. They're talking to us about the pension fund that has run dry in the City of Pritchard, and since September of 2009, these retirees have not received a pension check, and that's what we're discussing tonight. If you're on the phone line and you're not connected with this story at all, we are not taking calls from anyone other than the retirees or people directly connected with the retirees. Also, the chat room is open, but it's not being manned tonight because we're focusing all attention on the retirees this evening. We're going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to pick up Gloria Howard. Ms. Howard is with us this evening. Good afternoon, Ms. Howard. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm very good. Ms. Howard, I'm going to tell y'all now, told me today, listen, I don't know if I can do this. I'm nervous. So y'all send your best wishes to her as she talks to me. But I'm going to try to walk you through this, Ms. Howard. I understand that you're 65 years old and that you work as a dispatcher with the City of Pritchard Police Department for 21 years, or there about 21 years. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And that you retired in 1993.
Yes.
Okay. And from what I understand from Ms. Howard, her check is was $431 a month that they were paying you. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Okay. And due to her not receiving that, Ms. Howard has gotten a little behind in her bills. And she made the news recently, y'all. That's how I found Ms. Howard. Ms. Howard made the news because she went, I think you talked to the mobile press newspaper down there, and you were telling them that the walls to your outside of your house were not even up, and that this winter it got awfully cold in there because you didn't have walls. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I didn't have no exterior or interior walls, and all I have is black felt around my house. It's getting pretty cold. And I was trying to save up my money to get, you know, one wall at a time fixed, but I never, you know, never could. Plus, my refrigerator went out, and I had to get me a refrigerator, and that's when my checks stopped, and then I started getting behind on my bills.
Right. Ms. Pritchard, tell them, too, you've had one of your legs amputated, like, in 2003. Is that not correct? You're in a wheelchair.
Yes, I'm in a wheelchair. Lost my leg in 2003. I have peripheral vascular disease, high blood pressure, and I'm diabetic now. I wasn't when I lost my leg, though.
And I understand that your medicine runs you about $150 a month.
Yeah, and all they want to give me is $145 a month. That's not going to work.
Wow. So how are you making it, Ms. Howard, without your money?
I have a Social Security check. That's what I'm making it on.
And so if for some reason, God forbid, something was to happen to your Social Security, you would have nothing.
That's right.
Wow. But I understand a lot of good people came to help out when they found out about your situation in the news. Is that true?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of help. I've been getting someone from Montgomery.
Okay, am I picking up some? Does somebody have a radio in their background? If so, would you please mute it? Whoever is in an area where they have a radio in their background, if you would please mute it. I think I just found the problem. Okay, so Ms. Howard, how are you going to make it if things continue as they are and you don't get your pension check back? What's going to happen?
I'll do like I've been doing, just surviving.
Surviving. Ms. Howard, is there anything else you want to tell us about your situation? Are you angry with the elected officials down in that area that haven't helped you all?
Yes, I am angry.
Tell us about that.
They ought to be put out of business. They can't pay us. They don't need to be paid.
Oh. So have you written any of your politicians? Have you called any of them?
Yeah, I wrote my congressman.
Did you get any response?
I got a response, but nothing's happened.
So what was the response that they gave you?
They said they'd try to help us, but I haven't seen any help yet.
And how long ago was that?
It's probably been about 4 or 5 months ago, maybe longer.
4 or 5 years. Now, do you know what politician that was? Because we want to call names tonight. I hate to be mean, y'all, but I think the only way this is going to get fixed is that we start calling names tonight, because I think only in these people's names being put out there, and we're asking, by the way, that anybody who is interested in helping these retirees, that you write their governor and their attorney general and their lieutenant governor and ask them to help the good folks of Pritchard. Would you agree with that, Ms. Howard?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I'm putting it on blast. So do you know which politician that you wrote to?
I do, but I can't remember his name right now. I got a bad memory.
I understand. Well, you know what? We thank you anyway, Ms. Howard. Is there anything else you want to say on behalf of the situation in Pritchard?
No, just God bless everybody that's has not getting their money.
I agree. Well, we'd like to say thank you so much for spending time with us this evening, and we're praying for you and the other retirees in Pritchard.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Howard. That was Gloria Howard, y'all. Gloria Howard, you know, is like we said, in a wheelchair, had her exterior walls and her interior walls down in her house. And once she went to the newspaper, all of a sudden people flooded her wanting to help. But where were those people before? Because this story has been going on for quite a while, and the retirees have not been getting any help. So we're asking everybody, if you will, please write to the elected officials down there. And we're going to have Ms. Dennis try to give you some names before the end of the 2 hours is up, so that you all will know who to write down there to try and get them some help. I'm trying to figure out who we're going to go to next. For some reason, the retirees did not give me the phone numbers that they were calling in from. So I'm going to the phone line, and we're going to try to go back up and see if we can open up 251-342. Good afternoon. Mr. Everett, is your phone lines any better? Mr. Everett. Mr. Everett, good evening.
Hello.
Okay, we're still getting an awful feedback.
Wow.
My phone lines show that you have two phone lines in your house opened up, and that may be part of the problem.
Well, it shouldn't be. But hold on, let me step out the door, because I don't have any phones on to know of, but I'm going to step right out here and be right back. All right, now.
Wow.
Is that any better?
No, we're still getting an echo, but let's go ahead. We don't know what the problem is, but if for some reason it's showing, will you mind hanging up and calling back in, and maybe that will clear up the problem?
Let me try that then, because I could hear it while ago on Captain Pash when he was talking. I do want to talk to you, so I'll call you back in just a minute.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, that's Gene Everett. Gene Everett is a 69-year-old. He retired from Pritchard Fire Department as the district fire chief. He's been retired for some 15 years now, boy, does he have a story to tell. And so we're hoping that we can clear up whatever the problem is with his phone line so he can call back in and tell us his story. But I'm going to ask some of you all, I must apologize, I'm going to have to come to you and not know who I'm coming to, because you all did not give me your phone numbers in advance, and that was on the memo that I sent you all requesting that you give me the phone numbers so that I would know who your numbers are when I saw them on the board. But I'm looking on the board, and I'm not familiar with a lot of these numbers, so very shortly I'm going to be coming to you, but I'm not going to know exactly who your names are, and I'm going to apologize because the numbers that I'm seeing on the board, and there's my phone lines are jammed, but what I can see for those, by the way, if you're supposed to be talking to me tonight, you need to press one. Pressing one will allow me to know that you are on the phone line to speak with me, and you're one of the guests that's supposed to be with us tonight.
We're not calling from
the number that's...
But for some reason...
it's just lost. There's so many. It's lost.
We're going to start again. We're trying to hold out and wait for Gene Everett to call back in, but we're going to move on. We're going to go to 251-937. Good afternoon.
I'd sit and listen all night if I didn't.
Good afternoon.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Who am I speaking with?
Scott from Alabama.
Scott Balzer?
Yes, yes.
Good evening, Mr. Balzer. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Okay, we understand that you worked for the city of Pritchard for 27 years.
Yes, ma'am. I retired in July as a district fire chief.
Okay. And how old are you, Mr. Balzer?
I'm 47.
47. And you retired as a district fire chief. And I understand that you received 6 to 8 checks before everything stopped, or you received no checks, or how did that go?
No checks.
No checks.
But I had to seek other employment for, you know, to try to find something for retirement.
Gotcha. Well, I understand that for what you told me, you thought the offer was nothing.
Right. It was. The reason I say nothing is because if the city does nothing, there's the $50,000 going into the fund now by the 5.5% by the current employees matched by the 10.5% by the city. So there's that much going in. All they have to do is order that money to be paid on a monthly basis to the retirees, and eventually the fund would fix itself, would right itself, because so many people have left the city over the years. The employees there's only a handful that would be able to retire in the next 20 years.
A handful?
Well, there's only a few working now currently that would be able to retire in the near future.
Okay. Well, Mr. Balzer, what is your solution to fix this?
Well, I personally think the state needs to get the Attorney General to step in and seize the assets of the city and distribute them in a moral, equitable way. The amount of money in addition to what's currently going in would only be like 10 to 12% of the city's budget.
Okay.
And it's disingenuous for the attorney, for the mayor, to suggest that it would take all of the money. Everybody says that, oh, the city can't afford it, but that's only coming from the source of the mayor. I mean, he's the one that's saying that. And, you know, the revenue has grown since the bankruptcy filing in 99.
Okay.
And they have paid off the costs involved with that. So their amount of monthly costs has gone down and the revenue has gone up, and yet he still seeks to eliminate the fund and leave the retirees out in the cold.
So is it your belief that the mediation is not fair, the mediation agreement that they're trying to have you all come to? You don't agree with that?
Well, no. The mediation is clearly, you know, what the mayor wants.
Okay.
That's his offer, I suppose you could say.
Okay.
But it is essentially, you know, offering to give us the $50,000 that we would already get if they would distribute the money.
Mm-hmm.
In exchange for removing the state law protecting us.
Okay.
And so I don't see it as a wise decision at all to accept that offer.
Okay. Wow. I think a lot of people would agree with you, Mr. Balzer. And I think that what I'm hearing across the board is that if Pritchard is allowed to get away with this, then it will set the precedence across the United States for every city and state to follow. So I hope that this gets resolved for you all down there.
Yes, I guess the main point that I would like to make, you know, everybody's made the point of how immoral the behavior of the elected officials in the city has been, but this is a state failure. This is a state failure. The purpose of establishing the fund through the state legislature was to provide the protection of the state from this precisely this kind of tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've written the State Attorney General's office and Governor Bob Riley and received replies from them.
And what are their replies saying?
Well, the reply from the Governor Riley says, "Thank you for your letter regarding the City of Pritchard's Municipal Pension Fund. I have forwarded your letter to the chairman of the pension board, Mr. Troy Efrain." So basically he's sending the he sent my letter to the fox that's guarding the hen house. You know, that was a waste of time.
So I'm understanding across the board from the retirees that you all have written since 2009 to all of the elected officials, and none of them have given you all any help whatsoever.
That's correct. That's exactly why this is a state failure. The state laws, the Constitution of Alabama, protects this fund. Mm-hmm. And for this to be let go for this long is a state failure, not just the, you know, that's, again, that's why it was established through the state legislature, was to protect the fund and the retirees from this kind of soft tyranny.
Well, Mr. Balzer, thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. All eyes are on Pritchard, and I think if you all think that your elected officials are not listening tonight, you would be wrong. So if you want to let them know, that you or call names and let us know, rather, who you've spoken with and they did not reply back or did not give you the answers that you wanted, we definitely want to hear it. Thank you so much, Mr. Balzer.
Thank you for doing what you're doing. You're one of the few people that have stepped up and offered assistance with your radio program, and we appreciate your kindness to us.
Thank you, Mr. Balzer. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHD 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for this evening's topic. We're doing an exclusive interview with the retirees of the City of Pritchard, Alabama. They're in a struggle down there to try and get their pension funds because they have not been paid since September of 2009. We also had on as a guest tonight, or we attempted to have on, I guess I should say, Mayor Ron Davis, who gave us two confirmations 2 days ago and today that he would be with us. And at 5:56 this afternoon, his PR person, LaToya, called and said that the mayor, per his counsel, had decided that it was not in his best interest to talk with us tonight. If you are on the phone lines and you're someone other than someone connected with the Pritchard situation, we're not going to be taking your calls tonight because this is all about the retirees of Pritchard. And if you're in the chat room tonight, we apologize. We are not manning the chat room tonight because we're totally, again, focusing on the retirees of Pritchard. We're going to go back and try to pick up Mr. Gene Everett. Good evening, Mr. Everett.
Hello, I hope.
Okay, that's really good. Okay, wonderful.
Okay. We had a hard time carrying it with.
Woo, this phone line is really busy tonight, y'all, and I'm so sorry. And I think that's part of the problem, that we've got all the phone lines are jammed.
Yes.
But, Mr. Everett, let's talk a little bit about you. I understand that you're a 69-year-old. You retired as the district chief in the fire department, and that you've been retired 15 years. Is that true?
That's correct.
Now, we talked a little bit about your wife crying in the kitchen and how much that upset you. Tell us that story.
Well, I've been married 49 years to the same woman, and she's had both hips and both knees replaced. And about a month or so ago, she had to have another knee done, the last knee done. And my wife does not cry. Some women cry at the drop of a hat. My wife does not cry. I come around the corner there, and she was all crying and caring. I said, "What's wrong with you?" She said, "Well, I don't know how we're going to get the money to pay for this. You know, you have extra money. You have to pay $268 a day for the hospital and all that kind of stuff." And I said, "Look, there ain't no big deal. We're going to get through this thing." But it just infuriated me that this jackass, and I'm not going to be like Reverend Parrish. I know the young man. He's a nice fella. But I have no problem with cussing the mayor. We are being legally blackmailed. You understand what I'm saying?
Wow.
They're bringing this thing down. Let me tell you what they're telling us. And they said, "Don't say anything about the what's going on with the mediation." He was on the newspaper that afternoon putting a statement out. I said, "Don't tell me not to say anything about the mediation." They are legally blackmailed us. Let me tell you what they're doing. They're saying, "If you don't, accept this 33%. We are going to go back into to the bankruptcy court. We are going to drag this thing out for 5 or 6 years until we starve you out of your dial.
Wow.
I mean, most of us don't have the money to do that. Most average age of us is 70 years old. So we don't have 5 or 6 years to be dragging around for some guy who's been elected and had the audacity to take $24,000 a year and stop paying any payments on our pension thing. Now, that's one of my biggest draw. Well, I noticed on your email thing that you had emailed or talked to Bonner. You got a response back that's just like what I told you. It's a very generic response. It says nothing.
Yeah.
It will take $600,000 a year for the federal government or the state government or the county, somebody, to put into this pension to help city, and we would get 66%. We probably could live off of 66% rather than 33%.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous. We spent $70 billion in Egypt.
Yeah.
Over the last 40 years for people who don't even like us.
Yeah.
You know, and each one of us that worked for the city of Pritchett, I don't care whether you're black, white, man or woman, earned their money. Anytime you put yourself out on the street in the city of Pritchett, you put your life in your hands. And I am highly, highly frustrated over this. The federal court orders were disobeyed. The federal court did nothing to the man. The state orders have been disobeyed. Nobody has enforced anything. Had I been in federal court, they would put me in a jail. And then they want you to sign off on this thing for 33% with no guarantees. I talked to the lawyer yesterday. Can you make him pay? Well, we can get this thing drawn up, but we have no guarantees. We don't have a hammer. Well, guess what? Somebody needs to get a hammer. Because this is ridiculous to have 150 people in turmoil and laying up at night worried about stuff that we'd have no reason to worry about. I went from being comfortable to worrying about going to the dentist, going to the vet, things that, you know, that you ordinarily take for granted that you go and you pay out of your pocket. It's no big deal. $60, $70, $800, whatever. You worry about that. And it is not right for this man to set up his arrogant self and not even answer the question. We had three council people on the council. I called them that don't hear no evil, don't see no evil, don't do no evil. Well, they didn't do nothing. They sat there like blank. We had one guy, Mr. Eastman, tried to help us out a little bit, and we had a lady, Miss Martin. And she, I'm not sure exactly what she wants to desire to see it, but the point being is, you have three council people and the mayor, and they just rule the roost of that thing. And they need to get somebody down there and put somebody in jail. And when they put them in jail, if it ever happens, I'm going to take me a Saturday off one day and go visit them. Okay? And they, am I angry? You're damn right. So
well,
y'all
heard it here. That was Gene Everett. Thank you, Mr. Everett.
Thank you, ma'am, and I appreciate you, Carrie.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye. That was Mr. Everett, y'all. He told it like it was. There's a lot of angry folks down in Pritchard, and I hope that maybe this evening's show will help in some small way to bring a resolution to what's going on in Pritchard. I'm going to tell you all now, the remaining people on the phone lines, and the phone lines are jammed. You all did not call me back or email me your phone numbers. So I see the numbers on the board, but I do not recognize any of these numbers as the numbers that you all have talked to me from or gave me, or I guess you did not give me numbers. So I will ask at this time, if you're on the phone line and you were supposed to be a guest this evening, please press 1. I'm also supposed to speak this afternoon to Eddie Raglan, if you're on the line. James David Anders, if you're on the line. Sandra Turner, if you're on the line. Huey Dawson, if you're on the line. Jerry Mosley, Bill Williams. If any of these people are on the phone lines, please press 1. Kenneth Turner, C.W. Curry, Brenda Dennis. Linda Burst, I know some of these people I was supposed to call out to, and I apologize, but time restraints have just tied my hands this evening. And Captain Charles Kennedy, if you're on the line, please press 1, and that will allow me to know that I'm supposed to be coming to you before the end of the hour. Miss Dennis is another person. If I'm supposed to talk to you at all during this 2 hours, I just need you to raise your hand just by pressing 1, and that will allow me to know that you're one of the people that I'm supposed to talk to, despite the fact that your number was not given to me as one of the numbers. We're going to go to 251-661. I must apologize. I won't know who I'm going to, but I'll get your name as you come on. Good afternoon.
Yes, this is David Anders.
Hey, Mr. Anders. Good afternoon. This is James David Anders.
Mr. Anders,
how are you this evening?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Mr. Anders, I understand you're 58. You're retired as the district fire chief. You're retired at 55, and you drew your pension for about 2 years before it collapsed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Tell us what you think about what's going on with the city of Pritchard.
I think this was an intentional act by the mayor. This is not... The failure of the pension fund is not something new. It's something that's been was identified during the bankruptcy back in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that time that the mayor got into politics in the Pritchard.
Mm-hmm.
He did not start out as a mayor. He started out as a city councilman. And part of his duties as city councilman was to serve on the pension board. So he was very well versed in what happened during the bankruptcy. He was very well versed in the problems the pension fund faced, was looking at, 9 years ahead. This is something that's been going on, it was identified, and has been happening for 9 years that he's been involved with it. He did not like the pension plan back then, for whatever reason. He sought to do away with it. He sought to cut it. And since he's gotten to be mayor, he's pretty much trying to implement what he wanted to do. They want to blame the problems of the city of Pritchard, basically on the pension fund. Every time city problems come up, money problems come up, they want to blame the pension fund. They want to blame it for the bankruptcy back in 2000. The pension was not the cause of the bankruptcy back in 2000. It was mismanagement of the city funds by the city leaders back in that era.
Mm-hmm.
The pension fund was identified back in the bankruptcy of 2000 as a future problem, but also back during that bankruptcy, between the actuaries, the attorneys, the accountants that worked the bankruptcy numbers up, they put some recommendations in to fix that. And part of the recommendations were adopted through the federal court in the form of orders. And these are orders from a federal judge in a federal court. And those things are supposed to be they're supposed to be followed. One of the orders from the federal court was that all retirees take an 8.5% cut back in 2000, which that happened immediately. Part of the orders of this bankruptcy was that beginning in 2009, or when they had the bankruptcy paid off, that they would begin infusing $16.5 million over a 25-year period into the fund, which would have made it solvent. There was also an order from the court that all employees that were hired into the city, except for the few discretionary hires that the mayor had, were to participate in the civil service system and go through that hiring process, which mandated that they participate in the pension fund.
Mm-hmm.
And as late as 2008, there were 67 employees identified through the Mobile County Personnel Board. There were 67 employees identified working for the city of Pritchard that did not pay into the pension fund. They were not part of the personnel civil service system.
Mm-hmm.
And that directly violated federal orders there. There was also a recommendation, not an order, but a recommendation from the accountants that as bankruptcy obligations were paid off during the bankruptcy period, that instead of rolling that obligation into the general fund to be spent on other projects, that money be rolled into the pension fund to help alleviate this problem here.
Mm-hmm.
None of these orders from the court, none of the recommendations from the court have been followed, absolutely none. And this is all part of the mayor's plan to bankrupt this fund and stop payments to the retirees. This is one man defying all state laws, all orders from the federal court, and getting away with it. You know, and I sat in, I was part of the mediation process, and, you know, it started at 9 o'clock in the morning. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, I finally told the sitting of everybody was there between the city's lawyers, our lawyers, the retired Supreme Court justice that mediated it, the mayor, the city council people that were there, all there. I said, and in all this talk that's been going on, not once have I heard, you know, right and wrong come in to play. It hasn't been brought up yet, you know. Somewhere out there, right needs to play into this. And we've been, like I said, and like everybody else has said, we've been ignored, you know, by all of our state leaders, from our governor to our attorney general to our state representatives to our local district attorneys. No one has stepped forward and taken the bull by the horns on this. They've all passed the buck. They tell us they, you know, sympathize with our situation. They're sorry for us, but they got to refer this back to the city leaders because they're the ones that have to take initiative to make this right. And like, you know, Scott Balls said just a few minutes ago, that's the fox, you know, man in the hen house. You're turning all this over to the fox, this man in the hen house now. Somewhere, somebody needs to step up and make the city do what they're supposed to do, and that starts with the city leaders. You know, I served on the pension board for 9 years. The last 9 years I worked there, and people would come to me and say, the fund's running out of money. What's going to happen if it runs out of money? I said, well, it's, you know, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. The city leaders, the mayor and all has not chosen to, you know, correct the situation. But he's mandated by state law and federal orders to do so. He's got to do it. If he doesn't put the money in now, beforehand, he's got to take it out of the city's general fund. But you're going to get paid. It's the law. But all of a sudden, that's not happening. You know, who gets to, you know, just ignore to violate state laws and not pay the price and not answer to somebody? Everybody answers to somebody, but this man hasn't answered to anybody yet. I've always had to answer to somebody. You know, the governor has to answer to somebody. You know, the senators have to answer to somebody. The president has to answer to somebody. Why does the mayor of Pritchard have to answer to somebody? I want somebody to explain that to me.
Maybe we'll get the answer by the end of the evening. Ladies and gentlemen, that was James David Anders. Thank you, Mr. Anders, for your time. Appreciate your participation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, y'all heard it. Very well put. By Mr. Anders, what's going on in Pritchard. We're going to go back to the phone lines. But if you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHG's 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for an exclusive interview that we're doing with the City of Pritchard, Alabama's retirees. We, as I said earlier, invited Mayor Ron Davis to be with us. He did give us two confirmations 2 days ago and today that he was going to be with us. But at 5:56 today, his PR person, LaToya, contacted us and told us that he would not be joining us. So we are saddened by that. We were hoping to at least get a statement from the mayor, but we understand that per his counsel, he was advised not to talk to us. If you're on the phone lines and you're anybody other than Pritchard retirees, we're not going to be able to get to your call tonight. We're strictly going to talk to those members of the retirees of Pritchard, Alabama. We're going to try to pick up the next call. I thought I saw on the board Sandra Turner a second ago. I'm looking for Sandra Turner on the line, and I don't see her on there now. If someone would get on the phone line and call Sandra back and tell her to call in, I will get to her. I understand she does not have long distance. There are several people, you all, that don't have long distance. If you all would get on the phone lines and call them, tell them I apologize for not getting them call through before the show started. If someone will get on the phone lines and call Nettie Banks, Huey Dossett, and Linda English Birch, I will go to them as soon as I see their phone numbers hit the board. I apologize, I was not able to get to them before the show began. But if someone would get on the phone lines and call Huey Dawson, Nettie Banks, and Linda English Burke and tell them if they call in now, I will go straight to their calls. But in the meantime, we're going to go to Captain Charles Kennedy. Good afternoon, Captain Kennedy. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yeah. Captain Kennedy is 67, you all. He currently works as a police captain with the city of Pritchard. And he, from what I understand, is against the mediation agreement and has several medical problems or has a medical problem dealing with his heart and needs to retire but is unable to because of what's going on with this situation. Can you elaborate on that, Captain Kennedy?
Well, yes, ma'am. As far as my health goes, I had a heart attack in 2000, on Valentine's Day 2007. I have a pacemaker, defibrillator, and I have congestive heart failure. I'm supposed to have retired because I cannot retire with no income. Several of the callers have already touched upon some of the real problems with this thing. The basic thing is that the mayor is determined to flatten out this fund. He stated he was, and has gone about it. Our problem is, as some of the other people have already stated, it's like a state official, because we have to remember the last year, Governor Riley, who the last couple of weeks of his administration on CBS News said he didn't think that 150 people in South Alabama was anything to be concerned about. Well, obviously, Governor Riley's name was not among the 150 people down here going through what we're going through. But anyhow, we have new state officials in office here now, and I hope these people will start taking to heart some of the things that's happening here. All the employees on this program, we did our part. We came to that city. Those of us who are police and fire put our lives on the line out there answering the calls. And everybody knows the nature of the city of Pritchard. We put our lives on the line out there, putting out their fires, going out there and handling the police calls. The same thing applied to our sanitation workers and our streets workers. Those people went out there during storms, handled storm work, worked with equipment that was not always the best or even safe, trying to get things done out there. We put our money into this program. We did our part. They knew for a long time there was a problem with this plan. It was never addressed, just as Chief Anders just got through stating. He served on the board. I currently am serving on the board. They've known about this problem for a long time, and it was not even addressed. It's like it was going to go away. It did not go away, and I don't think it's fair, since the mayor is determined not to address this issue. He just hopes that, like a fish thrown up on the wharf, will lay there and flop and die, that it will just go away. And I think the state pretty much feels the same way. But we're in the process right now of putting together a petition. We've got several thousand names so far to try to get the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the attorney general to come down here and see if they can't give us some help in getting this program back on again.
Captain Kennedy, where is the petition, and is it online at all, so that if people outside of Pritchard want to sign the petition, they can? Is it on the web?
No, ma'am, I'll be honest with you. We started the petition doing it on paper and then had no idea we'd get the number of people to sign up, but it's literally in thousands.
Okay.
Have signed on this petition. We had no idea that it'd get this big. I'll be honest with you, I thought we started this thing, we'd probably get maybe 1,000 people to sign it, but it's in the thousands now. And it's growing every day of people interested in doing something about this. And it's just sad that you have to do something like this to get the politicians down there, the district attorney's office, the state officials up in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once again, I know these people, as Kate Ivey said, the lieutenant governor, they've only been in office since January the 16th. We plan to make them fully aware that we need some help down here and see if we can encourage this. But it's been stated earlier, our local delegation down here is as deaf as a tomb. They've said nothing, not so much as laid a finger to try to help us on this thing. The city of Pritchard dug this hole. The employees did not dig the hole. We're being asked to carry the burden of what has been done to us. We did our job. We had a covenant with the city of Pritchard. We took that job out there. We had a covenant. We would do the job we were supposed to do. And in turn, for us being responsible for what we did, in turn, the city would fulfill its end of the bargain, a state law that said they would provide our retirement. The city of Pritchard very privately has the lowest paid workers in the state. The least they could do would be to take care of our retirement. This is an issue that's just, it's just preposterous that we have to go through what we're going through right now to try to get any kind of attention from Montgomery. The city of Pritchard is going to do nothing. They've already stated they're going to do nothing. They're totally intransigent in what they're going to do.
Well, let me ask you, Captain.
The only person on the city council that tried to help us at all is Mr. Ephraim. He's also, he happens to be the chairman of the pension board. But the rest of the time, it's like me. I don't have, I've got a, my heart condition is very serious. There's no two ways about that. And my
Captain,
thing is,
let me ask you this. I know that you have written some of your officials. Who have you written?
I've been writing letters up, I've been writing, trying to get other people to write letters too up there in Montgomery. Now, this is all kind of new as far as getting to, I'll be honest with you, I've spent most of my time here lately, the last few weeks, trying to make people to wake up to what this proposal is, they're trying, the mediation thing they're trying to put through. That thing is not even a plan. If you read it, it's not even a plan.
Okay.
It's a partial thing. You're asking people to sign on to this thing, voting yes or no, with the understanding that if you sign on, it's without recourse. Once you sign on, whatever the plan is put together later, you've pre-agreed to it. And I can't imagine, would an attorney sign a contract that's only partially filled out?
No, he wouldn't.
And that's exactly what they ask these people to do. They say, okay, we've got this much. We're going to give you one-third of the money. Most of these people working out there didn't make a whole lot of money to begin with. Their retirements were small. And just like it was just a few minutes ago, talking to Ms. Howard, $170 a month. And I'm kind of in the same boat a lot of people. My gosh, I didn't even begin to. I take a lot of medications because of my heart. We begin to even pay the co-pays on my medications.
Well, Captain, thank you so much for spending time with us this evening. We appreciate you. And when our prayers are with the retirees, and we're going to hope that tonight gets us a resolution.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Captain Kennedy, y'all. Very well put. A lot about what's going on with the situation in Pritchard. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to pick up C.W. Curry. Good evening, Mr. C.W. Curry. How are you?
Hey, Ms. Hines. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm good. Mr. Curry worked 27 years for the fire department. How old are you, Mr. Curry?
I'm 72, almost 73.
72. We understand the average age of the retirees in Pritchard, y'all, is between 72 and 74 years old. You are retired. You retired as captain in 1991, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes,
tell
ma'am.
Us what's going on down there from what you see, Mr. Curry.
Well, I think if you could say that if the way we're being treated, you'd have to be at the bottom of the barrel to treat us the way they're treating us. You know, it's a bunch of selfish people that's more concerned about what they get for themselves and have nothing, no feelings whatsoever for all the retirees. You know, they don't consider the situation none of these people's in. And I would like to say one thing about Ms. Howard. You know, when I read that in the paper, I've been knowing her a long time, but I had no idea that her condition was like it was. And when I read it, I told my wife, I said, I've got a construction company now. And I said, I'm going to take my people out there and fix that lady's house.
Oh.
And the day we went out there, the press register came. We met with the Volunteers of America, And they was out there. And I'm telling you, I was so impressed that so many people has a heart for that lady.
And
we're going to get all that work done for her and through several churches and donations that come in. Within the next few weeks, we'll have walls on her house inside and out and have it painted, and it'll be very nice for her.
Wonderful. I'd like to say to those.
I'm sorry, but I had to.
I agree. I'm going to jump in there and say, y'all, let's not wait until we see another situation like a Ms. Howard in the newspaper. You know, just from the stories we've heard already, we see these people are hurting. They have a relief fund. We're going to talk to Ms. Burse, and if Ms. Burse is not on the line, somebody please call her and have her call in to the show. We're going to have her talk about the Pritchard Pension Relief Fund that's available to give some of these folks some relief. So if somebody can do me a favor and get on the phone and call Ms. Burse and tell her to please get on the phone lines because we want to talk to her about that. But, Mr. Curry, let's go back to you. I understand that your brother Rex Wall was also a retired Pritchard employee, and he died in some very bad situation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Carrie, it's one of the things that, you know, that just life has to go on. And Rex got down. He was real sick, had high blood pressure. He'd had a stroke, and he had, you know, he just, everything just seemed like it went backwards for him. And he got to a situation, they cut his lights off, they cut his water off, cut his gas off, and, you know, and he couldn't even buy his medicine. And my wife and I tried to help with those bills and his medicine for several months. And we got ourselves kind of pinched down to where we had to, you know, look at those things. And but Rex was fortunate enough that Mondale Show, he got on that medicine list and got all of his medicine for almost nothing. And that was a blessing to him because he could not even afford his high blood pressure medicine. And he was suffering so much. And I tried to check on him at least twice a month. And then it got to where every time I'd go over, you know, he'd think I was coming over to bum him for my money, you know, we helped him with. And I told him, the last thing I told him when me and him talked 2 days or 2 weeks before he died, I said, Rex, you don't owe me one dime.
Wow.
Because I know the condition you're in, and I know that whatever we give you, that's from our heart. But he, you know, he still wanted to pay me back. And
he was strapped because he wasn't getting his pension money, correct?
Oh, it's right. The pension money, you know, when you go a year without a pension, you know, and he'd been a little bit over a year with no money whatsoever coming into the house, you know, you can't help but to have all your utilities cut off.
Right. And you said,
you know,
I believe you, you said there was even no food in the refrigerator when he died.
I was in his house within 10 minutes after he passed away, after they found him. I'm sorry, we don't know what time he passed away. And I checked the refrigerator. There was no drinking water. There was no bread, no crackers, no nothing. And I guess that's what I live with every day of my life now, knowing that I couldn't afford to help him at that time any more than I did, and I had to live with that. But, you know, and I think that I have gotten over the worst part of punishing myself that I didn't do more, but I did what I could.
Wow. Mr. Curry, thank you so much for telling us your story, and we're going to have, I think, all eyes on are looking on Pritchard right now, so hopefully some relief is coming soon. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
We thank you very much for being so kind to all the retirees and for taking your time and your show to try to help us, and God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to pick up, again, I won't know who this is because you didn't give me your number in advance. 251-452, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
This is Kittle Turner.
Hi, Mr. Turner. How are you?
I'm doing fine tonight, and how about you?
I'm good.
I've almost got my voice back.
That's right. Mr. Turner was very sick when I talked to him the other day. Mr. Turner is 68. He worked 30 years, retired in 1996. He was a firefighter, captain, and paramedic. Did I get it right?
That's correct. I sure was.
Well, tell us about the situation in Pritchard from the way you see it, Mr. Turner.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about what's going on with us, me and my family, since we've lost our pension. First of all, we had to sell our car. We got a used car, and it looks like now we're going to have to sell it. When we get through with our paying our bills, we're several dollars short of having enough to even buy food. But thanks to our immediate family and our church family, we're surviving. And we
I think the exact number you gave me was you're $250 short at the end when you paid all the bills, and that's before groceries. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Wow. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I thought that was important to say.
Right. I'm going to give you a little background about what has occurred with our pension. And I was the watchdog for the pension back in my day when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And when Mayor Norwood took office, our pension was actually making money every month. And when he came into office, he was a very arrogant person, and he stood up in a citywide meeting,
mm-hmm,
and told us that if citizens had elected him to run that city, and he was going to do it his way, and if we couldn't conform, best we hit the highway, because it was his way of the highway. That was his exact words. And within just 6 months, we had like 30 people retired.
Wow.
Anybody that had the time retired because they couldn't deal with him.
Mm.
And he tried to sneak some legislation through on us. And thanks to Mr. Cotton Leachman, which was a councilman then, we found out about the legislation that would give Mayor Norwood a complete control of our pension, where he could loan it to who he wanted to. And when we were able to stop that legislation, he made it a vendetta. He said he would take care of that pension. And he made it a vendetta, and he got his little legislative buddies to pass a law to where he could bypass the personnel board with the appointment of his staff and his department heads. Well, these are the highest paid individuals in the city. And they were able to bypass the personnel board, so they weren't paying into the pension plan. And he passed it right on to Mayor Davis. Mayor Davis was the council president. And when Mayor Hardin was elected, Ron stood up and got all five council votes to take all the mayor's power. And Ron Davis ran that city from the city council and would not let the mayor pass anything or do anything with our pension. And then when he was elected mayor, you heard the story from a few others about what's going on with Mayor Davis since he was elected mayor. And like I said, he not only was he elected his staff, he elected family members of the Pritchard Police at the time, and they had 65 or 67 people that he had elected that bypassed the personnel board. And we were unable to sustain the pension at that time because we had about half of the city making minimum wage trying to support 150 people on 15% of their salary. That's the reason our pension's broke. It's not like they reached in and stole the money. They blocked us from replenishing the pension so that it would sustain itself. And that's what happened to our pension. It's not that they stole it, but, you know, there's different ways of stealing.
Yes, there is.
And, but I listened to what Brother Perry said a while ago. I like his optimism.
Mm-hmm.
God's still in control.
Yes, he is.
And everybody going to stand before him and give an account.
I'm going to mention two other things about you, Mr. Turner, before we let you go.
You told
me that your family and your church has helped you financially, or you could not have made it.
That's correct.
And then you told me another thing that I thought was very touching, that in your years, in your 30 years of working with the city of Pritchard, this is why I feel like they so betrayed you all in this situation. Mr. Turner told me of stories in which he paid for supplies out of his own pocket to help the city keep going. Is that correct?
That's correct, and it wasn't just me. On our rescue truck, there's not a paramedic that worked on that truck that didn't buy supplies to put on that truck because the city wouldn't buy them or couldn't buy them.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked on our own vehicles, bought parts out of our pocket, bought supplies, like I said, for the rescue truck. We worked on the fire stations. Some of the guys bought the paint out of their pockets to paint the fire stations with. We were the generation then that kept this city going, and for 30 years we kept it going. And that's the reason that we feel so betrayed after our hard work. And these people have got no interest in Pritchard. They were elected, and they've got no interest whatsoever in a preacher. They're interested in what they can put in their pocket. It's what it seems to me like.
Thank you so much, Mr. Turner, for telling your story tonight. We really appreciate you.
Thank you. And listen, we appreciate all of you so much. And again, it's been stated before, and I'd like to reiterate that if there's anybody out there that can help us, any of the city officials or state officials, we need your help. And we appreciate you so much.
Thank you. You all heard it. Mr. Turner said they need help in Pritchard. Please, if anybody can help the retirees of the city of Pritchard, they're reaching out to you tonight. We're going to go back to the phone lines. I apologize. This number I'm going to, I do not recognize it, but I'm going to come to you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. 251-645. Good afternoon. Okay, this person does not recognize me coming to them. Good afternoon. Hello? Okay, I've gone to somebody's phone line, but they don't recognize that I've come to them. Listen, there are several people that I did not get to tonight that I still need someone to get on the phone lines and call them and tell them when they dial in, if they would please press 1 immediately and I will go to them. I was supposed to dial out to Huey Dossett tonight, Nettie Banks, and Linda English Burrs. Due to limitations of being on live now, I cannot dial out. So if they would dial me, I will immediately take their calls. I do apologize. But due to all this going on and so many guests at the same time, the music unfortunately ran out before I was able to dial out to everyone because it took a while for the connections to be made. Again, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHD's 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage tonight. We're talking to the retirees of the city of Pritchard, Alabama. We were also supposed to be talking to the mayor, Mr. Ron Davis, but Mr. Davis at the last minute decided that he would not join us. He, through his PR person, let us know that per his counsel, he was advised not to speak with us. And so we have to honor that. We're not happy about it, but it is what it is. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Area code 251-404. Good afternoon. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Bill Williams.
Good evening, Mr. Williams. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. I understand, Mr. Williams, that you retired in 1994. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. You were with the city of Pritchard for about 20 years.
Yes, I was.
Okay. Somebody told me a story, Mr. Williams, that you got hit by a truck in the line of duty.
Yes, ma'am. It was during the Hurricane Frederick, the first day of October of 79, I got hit, crushed my hip. Since that time, I've had my hip replaced 3 times.
Wow.
I have 2 knees that has been replaced. I have
and
had
this
two
was all
strokes.
Due to what happened then?
All this has happened along the way.
Wow.
2 strokes, 2 heart attacks, 2 stents, a pacemaker defibrillator, and a green pill filter.
Wow. I understand, Mr. Williams,
and high
that you
blood
have
pressure.
Right. Somebody told me that you're struggling with cancer right now, and you're due to have surgery very soon.
That is correct.
And you're struggling, like you said, with high blood pressure. How much is your medicine you owe a month, Mr. Williams?
I'm sorry, I misunderstood you.
How much is your medicine running you a month?
Oh, my Lord. It's in the thousands.
Wow. How are you going to make it then if they don't fix the situation?
Well, I'm much luckier than the rest of the folks out there. I've got good insurance, and I'm retired military on top of being retired from Pritchard, but that don't mean I want to give them my retirement. You know, I've heard all these people talk tonight, and they have everyone made good points, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just want to let everybody know that Judge William S. Schulman, I'm sorry, he's the only one official who has backed the mayor and refused, bucked the mayor, and refused to let him file bankruptcy again. Now, he'll be going back to the same judge, if I'm not mistaken, unless they go to the 11th Circuit, I believe it is. But, you know, let's understand a little bit about bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
When you go bankrupt, then every bill has to go to the judge. So this settlement they're trying to make, they're saying that they're going to have about $900,000 when they send two-thirds of it to our attorney, and he'll put it in his checking account, and then he is going to take his fees and buy funds out of that that he needs. And he's going to distribute the rest of it to the retirees. Well, I can guarantee you one thing. They are not going to give him anything before they go into bankruptcy. They plainly state it in the mediation that they've come out with.
Mm-hmm.
They said it after he gets this money, then he will give it out. Then you go on over into it. It says that after bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
when they get through the bankruptcy court, you know, they have filed a plan in the immediate future. The pensioners need to know this. It makes a difference.
Wow.
We're going to deal with friction on a level playing field, or on a field tainted by the contract for bankruptcy. You've got people that you have to pay. The people that they owe for lawnmowers, the people that's, you know, the things that can be moved around.
Creditors.
They're going to pay for those.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, sir. I'm listening.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Okay. I'm sorry. Then they got what they call a prayer for relief.
Yes.
If it is granted, then they will take all of the secured bills.
Yes, sir.
And they will take those, and they will say, you're going to pay this one, you're not going to pay this one, you're going to pay this one. And the ones that something that they are going to have to carry, can be up and carried away, they will pay for those.
Right.
But the unsecured creditors, which will be like us,
mm-hmm.
the bankruptcy court can do anything they want to with it. They can say, we're not going to give you a dime.
Mr.
But we have to take that chance because people out there getting one-third of their pay, they can't live on that.
No, they can't. No, they can't. Mr. Williams, thank you so much for taking the time out. We're down to our last 13 minutes. Thank you so much. We're going to have to go to Linda Burke at this time. Ms. Burke, we apologize for not dialing out to you tonight. Good afternoon. How are you?
Great.
Ms. Burke, I'm so sorry. Tom ran out with trying to do everything. Ms. Burke is you're going to tell him who you explain to him, Ms. Burke, who you are. This is Linda English Burke. Tell them what you do for the pension, the Pritchard pension retirees. The Pritchard retirees. I apologize, y'all. Tell them what you do.
I am Linda English Burke, the chairperson for the City of Pritchard, Pritchard Retiree Relief Fund. And this is an entity separate from the city. This is a group of business people and working people that came together to assist with this travesty. We were established in June 23 of 2010. And since then, we've had two fundraisers where we sold plates. We were able to help some of the pensioners. We've had two fundraisers with that. We've had three bucket drives. We're getting ready to have one tomorrow. We're established.
Wait, let me establish this. It has nothing to do with the City of Pritchard, correct?
Absolutely.
This is just a group of concerned business people who came together to help these people.
Absolutely.
It's a private endeavor.
Absolutely.
But you
Absolutely.
All are under a 501(c), correct?
No, we're under 501(c), but we do have we are tax deductible.
Okay, gotcha. Okay,
the donations are tax deductible.
Okay, so the Pritchard Pension Relief Fund, you all, if you'd like to send money to help these retirees get through this tough time while they're trying to deal with this mediation and hopefully come to a resolution really soon, you would send that to P.O. Box 370, Mobile, Alabama, 36601. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and if you'd like to reach out to them via email, They're at the pension relief at att.net. If you're sending a check to, like I said earlier, the Pritchard Pension Relief Fund at P.O. Box.
Pritchard Retiree Relief Fund.
Okay.
PRRF.
Okay, PRRF. Okay.
Pritchard,
if you're
Retiree Relief Fund.
Okay. That would be the P.O. Box.
RPRRF.
Okay. Give them, they're going to make the check out to who then?
Pritchard Retiree Relief Fund.
Gotcha. Okay, and that account is established through the Commonwealth Bank in Alabama?
Commonwealth National Bank in Alabama. That's
okay,
correct.
Okay, thank you so much, Ms. Burris, for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you caring so much with this endeavor.
Thank you. That was Linda English Burris, y'all, and she gave us some information on how you all can send money, if you like, to these people. And I hope everyone does reach deep because I plan to myself. We're going to go to 251-404. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking to Bill Williams again.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Williams. I'm going to close your line back up and try to catch that next call. Thank you so much. Good afternoon. Who am I speaking with?
Hello.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
Lydia Raglan.
Hi, Mr. Raglan. How are you?
Fine. How are you, dear?
I'm very good, Mr. Raglan. Let's see. Mr. Raglan is 59 years old, y'all. He's a retired police captain. Worked for the city of Pritchard for 25 years. He was able to collect his pension for 4 years. Am I correct with all of that, Mr. Raglan?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Tell us what you'd like us to know.
Well, I retired in 2005 at the age of 55, met the minimum requirements. They require that you work X number of years and be at the age 55 to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached age 55 and decided to retire after 25 years of service and fulfill my contract obligation of serving for the city of Pritchard for those years. It was a plan that was offered when I first come to work, read through it and understood it completely. And from there, I collected my pension for 4 years. And in 2009, it ended, and we did not receive any official notification of any type other than hearing from fellow retirees and what was in the local newspaper and local news media.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask something here, Mr. Raglan, because I really want them to understand what you've gone through. You lost your wife in March of 2010, is that correct?
Yes, I did. She passed away. The funeral expense I had to incur myself. At that time, I was unable to have any kind of life insurance on her.
Wow.
Due to not having retirement funds to help pay insurance costs, to have a policy of any type, I incurred the expense of the funeral by myself.
And in August of 2010, you were shot.
Yes, I was shot twice by a robber. I was at a car wash on a Saturday morning in the Pritchard area. In the process of washing the car, a perpetrator came in on my blind side, shot me twice. From there, I had a firearm with me. I returned fire 4 rounds, never hit him. But this happened about 11 o'clock on August the 7th. By 12 o'clock, I was in surgery, had major abdominal surgery. I got hit twice. They took out 2 foot large intestines, repaired 2 body parts, and then stapled me back up. I spent 2 days in ICU, and the rest of the time of the total of 8 days, I was on the hospital floor.
I understand that the nice people at Burger Master and people at a local church there help you out so much during that tough time. They collected money at Burger Master, I understand, and your local church took up a collection for you.
I'm presently employed with Mobile Airport Authority.
Yes, sir.
They got together the employees and friends out there, had a bake sale as well as a plate sale, collected donations up. Also, Chickasaw Police Department had a fun drive and collected donations for me because I ran out of vacation and sick time at the end of August, and from there I didn't have any income coming in. But thanks to their support and along with donations at the Burgermaster had a jar with my picture on it and several other businesses. I was able to pay my bills and keep things afloat as far as paying the basic utilities and basic bills.
Okay, I want to make this final point. You said that you saw State Senator Vivian Figures in an airport, and please tell us what she told you when you asked her to help the retirees of Pritchard.
Yes. 2 months after this started in 2009, I had an opportunity to be at work and saw Senator Figures coming through the airport there, fixing the, going to her gate after she went through the TSA screening area. I saw her and I asked her, could I ask her a question? And she said, sure. I told her I was one of the Pritchard retirees, one of the 100, at that time, one of the 150 not getting a retirement check. And I asked her, is there anything that she could do maybe to look into it, to check out, see what was going on or do an investigation or something to that effect? She said, well, the only thing I can do is pray for you. And quote, unquote, was her statement, was, we'll pray for you.
Did y'all hear that? I mean, we're talking about a state
elected official.
An elected official, a state senator, tells the people of Pritchard that she's going to pray for him. Okay.
Yes.
Mr.
And
Ragland,
that was the only response I got to my question about if she could do anything to look into it and maybe could help the retirees, because this was only like 60 days into not getting a check.
Yes, sir. And what did she say?
She said, we'll pray for you.
We'll pray for you. Wow. Thank you, Mr. Ragland, for your time this evening. I thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to the spokesperson that has helped me so much this week. Ms. Brenda Dennis, good evening. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I am good. It's been a long evening, and I want to say this person has helped me so much to get all these people on the phone line tonight, and I thank you so much, Ms. Dennis. I asked you at the end, could you wrap it all up in a bow for us? Go right ahead.
Well, I want to reemphasize what everybody else has been saying. Our state officials have been contacted, and they have elected to do nothing. We can't understand it. Even the national and the media within the United States have asked us, why is your state officials not doing anything to help you? We tell them we don't know. They can't understand it. So we need help. I would like to also reemphasize about this Pritchard Retirees Relief Fund. We need help so bad. I mean, we are just in dire need of money. And we would appreciate anybody that could help us. We would appreciate you sending a donation. And, again, that post office box is 370 Mobile, Alabama, 36601. And, like you said, we do have an email address. Anybody that has any kind of information that they would like to offer us or any assistance that they can give us, or if you know somebody that can get in there and talk to some of these people, like Governor Bentley or Attorney Luther Strange or our local DA's office, Ashley Ridge, we're encouraging you to contact us at pensionrelief@att.net.
Thank you, Ms.
We've had so many for retire. We've had 14 retirees already to die. One of these retirees had no children.
Mm-hmm.
She called me and she told me, she said, Brenda, I'm going to have to let go of my caretaker. This lady was bedridden. I said, Mary, you can't do that. She says, I have no choice. I have no money.
Thank you, Ms. Dennis. We're down to our last 1 minute, y'all. I'd like to say to the last caller that I was not able to get to, I do apologize. Y'all gave it my best to try to get everybody in this evening. It has been more than a notion to try to do that. But my heart was in it. And for all that I did not get to, I do apologize. God, believe me, I tried. I'd like to say thank you to all my guests. Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully this show will help in some small way to bring a resolution to what's going on in Pritchard. I'd like to tell anyone who's interested in sending money, they told you how. Please reach out and do so, and if they said it too fast, please replay this tape. It'll be available in the next 15 minutes. We'd like to say that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. We'd like to also reach out to everyone to ask them to write the elected officials. I can make a difference in this situation. Their governor is Mr. Robert Bentley. Their attorney general is Mr. Luther Strange. Their district attorney is Ashley Rich. Their congressperson is Joe Bonner. The state senator is Vivian Figures. The secretary of state is Beth Chapman. The examiner of public records, I believe, his name escapes me. Lieutenant governor is Kay Ivey. The congresswoman is Yvonne Kennedy. Mayor Ron Davis. And also reach out to Senator Rusty Glover. We'd like to say to everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. I pray that something done or said tonight will make a difference with the situation in Pritchard. To all the retirees, my prayers are with you. My check is in the mail. And I hope that the situation is resolved quickly. Thank you so much, everyone, and good evening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.